130. Psalm 130, this is another one of those songs of degrees that we talked about. But Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Father, we do thank you for the word of God, and we thank you that there is forgiveness with you. We thank you that you have provided a way of salvation for all peoples, that Jesus is that way and the truth and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We thank you that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we thank you that once we're saved, we can come to you and come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We're thankful that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father. And I pray that the message today would make a difference in someone's heart. And Lord, I pray that it make a difference in my heart. And we thank you for all you've given. And we just pray you'd bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but so often, we got somebody driving in here. So often we have I don't know if they're coming to church or just parking in there, brother. We'll see what they're doing. Hopefully they're coming into church. I don't know about you, but I look and sometimes I think about what it'd be like if God wasn't so merciful and forgiving. You know, so many people have said to me, why didn't God just send Adam and Eve to hell and just start over? And that's kind of the attitude some people have. You know, it's like, well, the problem is it's all God's fault. It's all God's fault, things the way they are. God allowed man to go on in his sinful condition. He didn't kill Adam and Eve and put them in hell and then just go on and start over. But he didn't do that because he loved them. And so he offered them redemption. And it's like he's offered redemption to all their children from that day until this one. Because God loves. Because God is love. Now we've got it backwards. We say love is God, but that's not true. God is love. And we love him because he first loved us. That's just the simple truth of the matter. Brother, we got a problem out there? Well, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go out and take a gospel tract to him and tell him he's invited to come into church. And if not, we're having services here. And if he, you know, we'd appreciate it if he wouldn't just park out there and everything. I'm not sure what's going on, but at least check on him. At least invite him in. And we'd like to, you know, but anyway, just check on them, see what's going on. Let them know they're welcome to come in. But you know, as we look at that and we see that God has been so merciful. But I started thinking about it, and he said in verse 3, he said, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand?" Have you ever thought about that? You know, we look at God's mercy and we look at what the Bible says that God did. And you know, the people that say, well, why didn't God just kill Adam and Eve and be done with it? What they're saying is, why didn't God just mark their iniquity against them and be done with it? And in a sense, He did. He said that if thou eat of the tree thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they did die spiritually that day. Death came instantly. Spiritual death came instantly. And the reality and the truth was that they did die, but God postponed the final fulfillment of the death sentence to offer them what? Eternal life. To offer them redemption. And that was because God loved them just as He loves you today. He offered that redemption. And have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about it? That if God marked every iniquity, and hello, welcome, appreciate you coming today. We just wanted to make sure you knew you was welcome to come in. Alrighty. And glad you came in and hope the service be a blessing to you today. Alright, you can just pick your spot there. Anyway, have you ever thought about, like I was saying, let me catch our visitor up, we were talking about when God created man. You know, many people have said that and told me, why didn't God just, you know, do away with Adam and Eve after they sinned and then just send them to hell and start over? And the answer was because He loved them. And what they're saying in our text here, He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And what they're saying is, why didn't God just mark their sin, their iniquity against them and punish them and do away with them and start all over? And the answer is because He loved them. And so, although the penalty for sin is death, the wages of sin is death, He gave them the promise of salvation. He gave them the promise of redemption. And He's given that same promise to all of us. But if you thought about it, if God should mark iniquities, if God should mark them down and say, okay, I'm going to call you to account for your sins today, how many sins would He mark? How many iniquities would He mark against you? I think of my life, even from a child. I'll be 62 next month. And I think of my iniquities since I was a child. I think of the times that I've lied to my parents or tried to deceive them. I think of the times I've lied to people and tried to deceive people in my adult life. I think of the times I've taken things that didn't belong to me. I think of the times I've said unkind things to people. I think of the times that I have rendered evil to evil. I think of the times when I've done things. I mean, some of y'all know my background, and you know, I used to deal drugs when I was in my early years. I did drugs, I sold drugs. And you know, it's very possible that some people may have died because of those drugs. I could have murder. I think of the times when I've looked upon a woman to lust after her. And Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. He said, he that hates his brother without a cause is a murderer. Now I think of the days and the times where I've just not given God a moment of my time. I hadn't even thought of Him. In Psalm 10 it says that the wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, doth not seek after God. God is not all in all his thoughts. I could go back through my life and I could go back and I could list the sins that I have committed And if God had called me into account for those sins, if He marked those iniquities, where would I be today? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've come close to death so many times. You know, I sat in a bar room with a knife in my back and another guy with a bike, with a motorcycle chain belt, and sat for 2 hours with a knife in my back and trying to literally plead for my life from two people who I insulted because I didn't take a drink of whiskey. Because I refused to take a drink of whiskey on some guy's birthday. That I didn't even really know. And he was going to kill me. Him and his buddy. I can think of a time when I was with my cousin and my brother, and we were running around bar hopping and chasing after women and everything like that. And they got in an argument, and I was sitting in the back seat, and we were in around a curve, when I looked up and I hollered out to my cousin Keith, I said, "Keith," and there was another, he had turned out into the wrong lane, there was another car coming around the curve, and when it all got stopped, and as God is my witness and I stand here today, I could have put my hand between the bumpers. They didn't crash, but that's how close they came. I remember another time when I was with my so-called friends and got so liquored up and everything like that, that I let them put a needle in my arm and shoot me up with some methamphetamine that I had never tried before. And I got so much that I passed out. It's supposed to keep you awake. I passed out. And my good friends took me and dumped me off and left me on the front porch of my house. At any of those times, my life could have been ended. But I had people that loved me and Christian people that were praying for me, and God was merciful to me. I didn't deserve that mercy. I think about that, is that Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? I think about my life since I've been a Christian, since 1983 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I think of the times when I've not been the Christian I should be. And as I learned, as I grew up in the Lord and I began to learn that things that I thought were right were wrong, and I had to change the way I lived. And then at times I failed, and yet God was always merciful. If I would have been like many people teach, that salvation is partly the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and then my good behavior, if that were true, my chance would have been gone a long time ago. Where would you be if God marked the iniquities of you? You know, we're facing a new year, and if there's anything we ought to be able to learn to do after these years is appreciate the mercy of God. For the first 23 years of my life, I had no understanding of the mercy of God. I didn't have any appreciation for it. It wasn't until I realized that I was a sinner, that I deserved to go to hell. This hell that people told me about, I deserved to go there. And I realized that God had not marked all those iniquities. He hadn't called me to account for them. Now there's a day coming where God has promised to judge the world in righteousness. And everything that, every idle word that men have spoken, they will give an account for. But today, as far as we know, is not that day, is it? Today is not that day. And if we were to say, well, why didn't God just judge Adam and Eve and send them to hell and start over? We could ask the same thing about why hasn't He done that to us? I can honestly say, but for the mercy of God, I would be in hell today. And deservedly so. And David, as God moved him to write this psalm, and he asked the question, he said, O Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Then he says, but there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. You know, if there was no forgiveness, no hope of forgiveness, there would be no need to fear God at all. There would be no need. If there was no forgiveness with God, our circumstance would be fixed. There would be no hope. There would be no hope of a better day. You know, I have learned some things as a Christian. I have learned that the Christian life that I have learned to live is better than the life that I had before. There is a better way to live in this world. And I understand the world may mock it, and the world may laugh at it, and the world may scorn it and show contempt toward people that want to live for God and want to live by faith. But it's a better way to live. I don't run through life. I used to, so many times you'd think that as close as I came to death, that I would be afraid of death, but I don't fear death anymore. Back then I did. But I don't fear death. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me when I walk out these doors. I'm not afraid of what man shall do unto me. I don't have to be afraid if the government goes crazy and takes away our rights and starts persecuting us. I don't have to be afraid of death. They can threaten me with death if they want. Reminds me of an old-time preacher way back in the Roman days. His name was Polycarp. He was the pastor of a church at Smyrna. When they caught him and they brought him to be punished, and then he said they came to him and they brought him up on charges about being a Christian and not worshiping the emperor, and they came to him and they said they told him to revile the Christ and swear by the genius of Caesar. And he looked at them and he said, 86 years have I served him. He was up in his years. He was in his 90s, nearing 100 years old at that time. And he said, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. How can I revile the king that saved me? They said, we'll cast you to the beast if you don't repent. And he said, call them. He said, repentance from righteousness to unrighteousness is a change not permitted us. But it's always a good thing to repent from unrighteousness to godliness. He said, if you despise the beast, he said, we'll burn you with fire. He said, you threaten with fire that can burn for but a while and that is quenched because you are ignorant of that fire which burns for all eternity. And they killed him there. And they put him in the fire and they stabbed him and they did all of those things, and he went to his reward that day. And he's in heaven, he's been there ever since. And one day his body will be raised up according to God's promise. And his redemption will be complete. Just as he was lost, body, soul, and spirit, he'll be redeemed of body, soul, and spirit. So will I. Not because of who I am. Not because I deserve it. Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one that loved me and gave himself for me. that one day I believed His promise. That's simple. There's forgiveness with God that He may be feared. There was I found out that there was a hope of forgiveness. And there was that opportunity of salvation. And somebody cared about my soul to tell me about that. And notice what he says. I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. So I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. And with Him there is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Christ died on Calvary's cross and paid the penalty for my sins. And He rose from the dead. He proved that that penalty is paid. And when I trusted on Him, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I trusted in Him, when I called upon Him, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I called on Him and put my faith and trust in the fact that He shed His blood for my sins, that He paid the penalty for my sins. When I did that, He saved my soul. His Spirit indwelt me. And He began to change me from the inside out. And He's still working that way. Oh, don't get me wrong. There's still a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. But one day, even that battle will be over. And all my failures will mean nothing. I'll have nothing to look forward to. There will be a day where I will not even remember those failures, because the former things shall not be remembered, neither shall they be brought to mind. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. There's a lot I want to forget. Maybe you're that way too. Maybe you've got a lifetime full of regrets. And you carry them with you. And they burden you and they hurt you. They don't have to. That's the grace of God. I can look at the wickedness of myself and the wickedness that others have perpetrated against me throughout my life. And does it hurt? Yes, but it doesn't hurt anymore because it's all past. It's over with. I'm a new creature in Christ, not because of who I am, but because of what He did for me. And all I did was accept the gift. All I did was do that because of God's great mercy. And He shall redeem me from all my iniquities. Every failure, everything wiped out for all eternity. I'll never have to do it. I won't suffer the punishment for my sins because Jesus suffered in my place. Oh, God didn't just say, okay, I'm not going to worry about your sins. No, He's a just judge. He has to do right. I mean, if I broke into your house today, if I stole everything you are, and the judge said, well, you know, you're a good sort of fellow, I'm just going to let you go. That wouldn't be justice, would it? That would be wickedness. And when we stand before God, He has to judge righteously. And the wages of sin is death. But because Jesus died in our place, He does judge righteously. He is just, and He can be the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And that eternal life is a gift. And when He does that, and when we get that, and the whole point of all this, I know some of you here say, preacher, I'm saved. I know. And if you're not saved, I hope you'll pay attention to the message, because one day you will give an account to God. And you will have to say why you rejected the salvation He provided. And you won't have an answer. And if you reject Christ paying the penalty for your sins, then the only choice is you pay that penalty. I mean, if you got thrown in jail and they levied you on a fine of $1,000 and you said, I don't have $1,000, and somebody came up and said, I've got $1,000, I'll pay the fine. You said, no, I don't want you to pay my fine. You'd stay there, wouldn't you? That's just common sense logic. So if you reject the salvation of God, if you reject what Jesus did for you, what choice do you have but suffer the penalty and the consequences of your sin for yourself? And if the penalty is death, eternal death, then that's the penalty you have to pay. If the penalty is separation from God forever, that's the penalty you have to pay. In hell, there's no fear of God. Why? Because they have no hope. But there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. And it's that thing that makes me look toward a new year. Have I been a perfect Christian this last 12 months? No, I haven't. I wish to God, would to God that I had been. But there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. There's hope to look forward to become better this year than I was. The world looks forward and they try every year, New Year's resolution after New Year's resolution after New Year's resolution. I hope I'm going to change. I'm going to be more healthy. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save more money. All these things. But you know, I don't just have to depend upon myself. I have a promise for the Lord. Because with the Lord there's mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. There's plenty to go around. The Bible tells us as Christians we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish that. Well, by yourself you may not be able to. But with the Lord you can, because with Him there's plenteous redemption, isn't there? I can make the most of the time that I have left. Oh, I just want to challenge you today to love God more, to serve Him more, to trust Him more, to hope in Him more. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be going? Supposed to be getting closer to God, not farther away. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I've got good news for you. God could have marked your iniquities against you just like He could have with me all those times. There are probably times that in my life that I was close to death and didn't even know it. I remember one time I was working, clearing some land with my dad, and I was working and there were some logs down here and I was cutting brush so I could get those logs. I kept feeling something hit my foot and I looked down and I couldn't see anything. And I had steel toes on, praise the Lord for the fact I had steel toes on. But as I went back to work and something kept hitting my foot, and I looked back there and finally I got that cleared and I turned it. There was a rattlesnake underneath the log. It was boom, 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 hit my foot. No telling how many times I was near a snake. Could have turned bad, but it didn't. I mean, I could just go down a list of all types of things that could have happened. Things where one little thing could have turned that could have been. And this world can be risky, couldn't it? But I don't have to be afraid of what this world may bring. I don't have to be afraid of what man will do. Because my future is secure, not because of any good that I've done, but because of Jesus and the good that He did when He died for me on Calvary's cross. If you're here today, this world's risky. Do you want to live this world in fear of death? The Bible says that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I can live free, and we can live free in this year. If God grants it to us, we can live free. We can live in hope. So I'm going to do this. If you're not saved today, I'm just going to ask you to consider what I've said. If you got questions about your salvation, it'd be my honor to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and know for sure that you have eternal life. And I pray you give me that opportunity. But it's your choice. No one can make it for you. You have to choose. But it's very simple. The only thing it's going to require, the hard part, is you need to humble yourself and acknowledge your need. That's the hard part. You know, pride is something that sends more people to hell than anything else. If you're not saved, I or somebody else here that knows can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And I pray you give us that privilege. And we just pray for you today. And if you're saved, I just pray you'd see the truth that the same God that saved you from hell, from the penalty of your sins, He can redeem the future for you. You say, oh, I've blown it, preacher. I've blown it. Oh, but it doesn't have to end that way, does it? Because with the Lord, there's plenteous redemption. We can get up and we can walk anew. We can confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go out and serve God better this year than we did last if God gives it to us. We have a better life this year than we had last year. We can be better people this year than we were last year. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service with a hymn. All right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for our visitor. And I just pray you'd bless him and bless each one with understanding. And Lord, if you marked our iniquities, if you called us into account to them, there would be no hope. But because there's forgiveness with Thee, we can reverence You the way we ought to. And we can fear what we ought to fear, and that's the just judgment of a holy God. And we can come to You, and we can find mercy. And we can find plenteous redemption. We can find all that we need. Help us, O Father, to see that and believe it. And Lord, bless your people with understanding today. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.